try to think that love's not around. Still, it's uncomfortably near. My old heart ain't gaining no ground because my angel eyes ain't here. Angel eyes that old devil sent, they glow unbearably bright. Need I say that my love's misspent with angel eyes tonight? So drink up, all you people, order anything you see, have fun, you happy people. The drink and the laughs are on me. Pardon me, but I gotta run. The fact's uncommonly clear. Gotta find who's now number one and why my angel eyes. Excuse me while I disappear.
There are so many great versions of that song. Jim Hall on guitar doing it has always been one of my favorites. Of course, Frank Sinatra, but I think this is my new favorite, and it's Nellie Mackay. I talked to Nellie by the apparatus known as a telephone. And here's that interview. We're talking with Nellie Mackay, her new recording, which is just delicious. It's called Sister Orchid. Hey, Nellie, how you doing?
I'm great. Now you said that.
Where are you physically in this moment?
We're just out of Vegas.
Did you stop in there? Did you do something in Vegas? Or
we stayed at the Red Roof, and I have to say it was wonderful. They had a swimming pool with a fountain, and you go through a cave.
I've never stayed in a hotel with any cave in it.
I know, and it was reasonably priced. I think a lot of them are down there because they think you're going to spend all the money gambling. But we didn't.
Well, it's no gamble if you pick up the new recording, Sister Orchid. And I have to say, you know, I've been listening to your music from day one, and no two records are alike. And in fact, a lot of times they're not even close. What about this record to you is unique for you?
Well, I mean, you say that, but I mean, I think that's the difficulty because we passed a big ad for Paul Anka. And, you know, we might be opening for Paul if we could just get a measure of consistency. but I guess this one is solo. So I guess that it's quite intimate and introspective. So I think that's the main thing that sets it apart. And I suppose it has a mood of late nights and cool drinks and warm biscuits. And, you know, it has that noir sensibility.
Yeah, it does set a really nice mood. And, you know, our jazz show's in the evening, so it's perfect for that. And for those that haven't heard the record yet, it has a lot of classic tunes on it. You know, when you're doing things like Georgia on My Mind and Angel Eyes, and how do you go about tackling those? Because I know you've heard lots of versions of those yourself. How do you avoid sort of copying somebody else's thing and bringing your own thing to it?
Oh, yeah, it's a foolish thing to do because what has been recorded is so indelible. But I guess you try to forget that and just honor the song. Because they are so beautiful in themselves. They're ghosts, for sure.
Is there a particular tune that resonates for you personally more than the others, or resonates for you in a special way?
Oh, my. I really like Lazy Bones, because I think so much of the problem of the world is ambition. There's a line in Cat's Cradle where a woman is going to work for Oppenheimer, and she's climbing up the stairs to her job, and she's surrounded by people, and she just wishes that everyone would just stop thinking. And that certainly is the trouble. You know, I think you start out and you think, oh, I'm going to do big things in the world, and you wind up like Pip in Great Expectations, that you really just want to come home, and that you realize that all those careerists out there, that's really the problem, that it's all about where it's going to get you, and you constantly have to break yourself into pieces in order to fit along that path that's going to get you somewhere, and it seems a shame. And it's not good for, you know, humanity, the animals, or anything.
Why do you think people are so driven that way? Why do you find that?
I think they think it's going to make them happy. And I think they like creature comforts because it's such a cruel world. There's such inequality, and it keeps widening. You know, if we had single-payer health care, universal child care, and a universal basic income, which has been tried out in places like Scotland and some towns in America, this is a wonderful way forward, you know, so that people have enough, you know, they can get by. And especially with automation, it's not just things like trade deals and the ethos of capitalism, but we're going to really need a universal basic income, and I hope it comes quickly, because people should be able to enjoy life and follow their happiness, whether or not it makes money. I mean, so many people have so much creativity in them, and they get indoctrinated into being bored. I mean, that's part of schooling. I'm not blaming the teachers. It's much more systemic than that. I think teachers fight against it, but they have to follow this certain rote things that involve so much memorization and so much of being forced to learn something that you're not interested in. I mean, for instance, through 12th grade, I had to take math. Now, I love math, but I'm not that into calculus. Some people are, but I would have rather taken painting. And, you know, it's just so many people, even if they come to it late in life, it would be wonderful if they were able to pursue what's inside them and not always be after the bottom line.
You know, you've been out in the country a lot. You know, you're out in the country now, and you've toured at different times of our nation's history. Does it feel different out there now to you?
Oh, different from the last time we went through the desert?
Yeah, or maybe even like 10 years ago, you know? I mean, or just for those of us that kind of end up in the same city for long stretches, we don't get out and see the country as much. I'm wondering about people that do travel as much. Does the United States feel different to you these days?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I canvassed, you know, so much for Bernie. I went to 13 different states, so you really see more of them than you do from a freeway, because you meet people in their homes, and sometimes they're even, you know, exceptionally nice. They invite you in, or sometimes they just talk to you on the front porch, you know. So you see so much of America, and so many people are so decent and have so much trouble getting by, and that is the problem with one of the problems with the corporations running the government. I mean, you have two parties that answer to their donors, that informs so much of how hard it is for people just to live. I mean, they're working, you know, three shifts, and they're working longer hours for lower wages. And this is a progressive problem. It's been happening for a long time, not just before Trump. I mean, not just with Trump. I mean, with Clinton in the 90s, 1994, so-called welfare reform, that was a gutting of the social safety net, and 70% of those who were cut were children. I mean, it's really terrible. You know, the prison system, the widened inequality. The greatest transfer of wealth to that time, you know, happened under Obama with quantitative easing. You can look it up, which was a transfer of wealth to the richest. So, you know, Trump is a much more vivid symbol of the kleptocracy that we've been living in for quite a while.
And how do you see music as an antidote for some of this, or as a coping mechanism, or how do you see the role of music these days?
Well, you know, so many of these songs were written or have versions that are very vivid during the Cold War, and certainly the film noir came out of that time. That it was not only the specter of World War II that applied to concentration camps and Nazism, but that it came out of the bomb. We are in a second Cold War, and this has been egged on by largely the establishment in both parties. With Russia, there's it's a tinderbox in Syria, along the western border of Russia, and within Asia, the pivot to Asia that happened under Obama, and there's been a lot of military concentrated in that region, and so it's that really is an existential threat, and I think people don't take it seriously because they don't like Trump, a lot of them, and so you know Russia becomes the enemy because they feel that Russia maybe helps Trump. Well, perhaps. They don't like Putin. Perhaps they don't like the Russian government. But a leader or a government is not the same as the people who live there, same in this country. There are 150 million people who live there who are not the enemy. And nationalism and racism share the same ideology. Both are predicated on an accident of birth. I mean, most forms of bigotry are. And we really don't want to make an enemy of the only country in the world that has more nuclear weapons than we do. We really want to get along. I mean, no more wars altogether. But certainly, even if you're only governed by self-interest, you don't want to make Russia the enemy. So I feel that bomb that was hanging over the heads of so many, for instance, school children in the 1950s, it's hanging over us now, too, because certainly people in this country are far too comfortable with nuclear weapons, nuclear war. They don't really see it as a serious threat. But as long as those weapons exist, and more exist now than ever before, they can be used. So can't we all just get along?
I'll do my part.
The album somewhat speaks of that.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, my favorite track is your take on In a Sentimental Mood. I've always loved that piece of music, and I just the way you sing that one, the subtlety of it, I just find perfect. What's your feeling on that track?
Thank you so much. I think there's no beat in the Coltrane, so you know I'm glad you like it. And we weren't sure about the melotron, but hey, and I'm glad. I think that song has a sense of limbo. And it's very important to find that. They say that might be one of the reasons of the opioid crisis, is that we're always on this this fast track, and most of the time you feel it. There's always something more to do. But even if you're doing nothing, you're on that train that is hurtling towards oblivion. And opioids help get you off that train, even for a moment. And maybe that track has some of that, too.
Nellie Mackay, your new record, it's Sister Orchid, and it is a great set of songs that I find do help you slow down and just sort of pause for a moment. And I appreciate you making the record and taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been such a joy. I'm glad we got through.
Yeah, good luck out in the desert and beyond.
And to you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
In a sentimental mood, I can see the stars come through my room, while your loving attitude is like a flame that lights the gloom. On the wings of every kiss drifts a melody so strange and sweet. in this sentimental bliss. You make my paradise complete. Rose petals seem to fall. It's all like a dream to call you mine. My heart's a lighter thing since you made this night a thing divine. In a sentimental mood, so heavenly, for I never dreamt that you'd be loving, say.